Translation. Let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world, and he maintains all for their ultimate happiness by his six transcendental opulences. May he be merciful towards me, so that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create. For I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, Purushottama, or Sri Krishna, is the maintainer of all in both the transcendental and material worlds. He is the life and friend of all because there is eternally natural affection and love between the living entities and the Lord. He is the one friend and well-wisher for all, and he is one without a second. The Lord maintains all the living entities everywhere by his six transcendental opulences, for which he is known as Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma prayed for his mercy so that he might be able to create the universal affairs as he did before. Only by the Lord's causeless mercy could he create both material and spiritual personalities like Marichi and Narada, respectively. Brahma prayed to the Lord because he is very much dear to the surrendered soul. The surrendered soul knows nothing but the Lord, and therefore the Lord is very affectionate towards him. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Buddhaya Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastita De Satarani. Lord Brahma expresses a bond of affection between himself and Lord Krishna. He also expresses his knowledge of the science of God. He knows who is Krishna and what is his position. It is not that because he has a friendship, he misunderstands the supreme position of Krishna. It is a friendship. The Lord has that position toward everyone. And the devotee sees the Lord as his friend. Of course, there are different kinds of friends. And some of the friends, the sakhas, they actually do forget that Krishna is God and just become his playmate but due to yoga maya. But for our instructive benefit, we are seeing how Lord Brahma is the friend of Krishna, but he's also the servant. So all relationships with the Supreme Lord, they have those elements. They have loving element and the element of service. Therefore we say devotional service. The Lord is Bhagavan. Some of his estimation is given here, that only because of him is everything maintained and for the happiness of everyone by his opulences. So he's Bhagavan, the supreme maintainer, the supreme powerful personality of Godhead. And we, who are hearing about him and becoming attracted to him, we are bhaktas. And the via media between the two of us is bhakti, the loving service to Krishna. Active, loving service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtanam. Srila Prabhupada did not translate the word bhakti as divine love, as some of the translators do, which implies a kind of impersonal state of bliss, Brahmananda, divine love, that I am God, you are God. When you realize that you are Brahma, then you become blissful, you become divine, you become God. No, it is, bhakti means devotional service. The Mamai Vamso Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The Jiva Atma, he serves the Paramatma, the Parabrahma. We're Brahma, spirit, and Krishna is Parabrahma. And we have all relationship with him of devotional service. So Lord Brahma and great devotees like him don't just repeat this scientific information in an abstract way. But they actually feel love for Krishna, and they are reciprocating with him. They perceive him all the time. And we're advised to do that too. So in the beginning, we think, well, where is Krishna so available as they're discussing? Arjuna was face to face with Krishna. Brahma was face to face. And other devotees, they see Krishna all the time in the material energy and in the deity. And they have the philosophical understanding. Their whole consciousness is formed that whether Krishna be before me in his original form, or whether I understand Krishna in his hearing form of his sound and his instruction, he is my Lord in separation or in a union. He is my Lord unconditionally. Until we are pure, however, this is theoretical. This is difficult to understand. Therefore, we have to go on hearing and chanting, and the Lord will become more perceivable to us. The acharyas give us the example that the same one thing, Brahmatma, Paramatma, Bhagavan iti subjate. That same thing, Brahma, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, is one and is seen in different ways. Just as you see one thing, a hill, in different ways. If you have great distance from a hill, you may see it as just a cloud, because a cloud may be covering that hill. There's the hill over there, you say. But actually, you know, you think there's a cloud. But then when you can come closer, you see it's actually a hill. And then when you enter the hill, then you see all the varieties of life and people and creatures on the hill. So there, it's all the same thing. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, but he's seen in different ways. And even when we focus on Krishna, then there are so many stages of understanding Krishna. So the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna to help us to remember Krishna, and that Krishna may become tangible in our life by serving the orders of Krishna's representative. By his instruction, we receive the holy name, which is a very tangible form of Krishna. Then it becomes not simply theoretical. We also receive the holy name, and we, by the name, Nama Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnashudo Nityamukto Vina Nam Namanamina. Then we start to associate with Krishna through sound, vibration, very tangible, and through all the different services we mold our life in devotional service. And this way Krishna becomes more and more real to us. And the main basis is hearing about Krishna. Hearing is so powerful. It comprehends all other methods of knowing something. The example is given of your becoming aware or knowing what milk is. So by your taste, milk is sweet and nice. By your touch, milk is wet. By the different senses, you can perceive the object. But when you hear milk, and then you hear the properties of milk, you can understand all the different qualities of milk. The hearing comprehends the others. It teaches you how to deal with the thing. You may see it's white, but what are you going to do with it? You may touch that it's wet, but what is the benefit or use of milk? You have to understand by hearing. So the Srimad Bhagavatam class is very, very important, because this is our time to hear about Krishna. We have so many activities, even within devotional service, and this is more or less our only formal and required activity. More or less, that one cannot stand in Krishna consciousness movement unless he attends this Bhagavatam class, even if he's doing some worthy work. He has to attend this morning program. Why? Because this is our only sure chance to hear about Krishna. And we can't think that, oh, I heard about Krishna. I am a devotee for 5-10 years. I already took that Bhagavatam course, like the undergraduate who said, oh, I've had Plato, I've had art appreciation, I've had ancient history. That means he's not going to take it again. He had that course. But this is not like that. I actually had this idea also when I first came to the storefront in 26 Second Avenue. I like to read different spiritual books, including the Bhagavad Gita. So I saw the sign, teaching Bhagavad Gita. So after Prabhupada taught for 1 week Bhagavad Gita, then I wondered what book will he teach next. Of course, there were many books to come, but at that time he was only teaching Bhagavad Gita. So I asked one of the boys, and he said, oh no, the Swami says that just you study this one book, and you don't have to study all the other books. So very soon I began to understand and appreciate that the Bhagavad Gita, there's no need to study the Tibetan Book of the Dead or the philosophy of Lao Tzu or Confucius or this or that. All you have to do is study Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita also means Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is ABC. Bhagavatam is graduate, Chaitanya Charitamrita, postgraduate. And then also authorized necessary books like Nectar of Devotion. Whatever we have got given to us by Srila Prabhupada, that is sufficient and it's necessary to go on hearing. So Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That hearing the Bhagavatam has to be done always, not just at, like a college course that you finish. Because it's a fact, even if a devotee comes, just like we have visitors and sometimes some of the gurus, or our own, it's not necessary, even our own devotees, they give such wonderful classes here at Gita Nagari. But then, after a week is gone, then or a day, you say, oh, that was a wonderful class, I feel very enthusiastic. But the nature of the devotee is, even the neophyte devotee, is that the effect of that enthusiasm helps him for some time, but he again has to struggle with so many different problems in his own case. Everyone is has his own particular difficulties in coming to surrender to Krishna. The point is coming to surrender and giving all willing service to Krishna. Whatever is favorable to Krishna, you do it. Whatever is unfavorable to Krishna, you avoid it. Those are the first two symptoms of surrender. And we're trying to come to that point steadily. So, one class, two classes, or even a very good class, that will not enable us. We have to always hear the relevant verses again and again. Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga, Shikshartam Eva, Purusham Purana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sarira Dari, Kripam Budhya Yastram Aham Prapade. We have to hear verses like that. That devotional service is Vairagya Vidya. It is not for material comfort. It is for renunciation. It is the way, the knowledge of Vairagya. That's Bhakti Yoga. And it is taught by Lord Chaitanya, who came to this world to teach us the science of surrender. We offer our obeisances to him. We have to regularly hear these instructions. And here are the realizations of our God brothers who are urging us to surrender as they're surrendering. We know our God brothers, they're also our equals, but when they're sincere and based on their practical service, one can't come and give a class who's not doing service. Actually, if someone is doing very good service and then he gives a class, even if it's simple, but he speaks that everyone should be enthusiastic and surrender, and he says it's very important to chant your rounds, and then he says something that he has understood because that devotee is serving nicely, we should be inspired and enthusiastic by him. And someone else may be particularly good in scholarship and put before us so many nice verses and stories. So everyone gives the class in a different way. But if it is sincerely done in an authorized way, this is the basis for our getting over our anarthas, hearing these verses, hearing this philosophy of the necessity to do just that, surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. That's what Krishna consciousness is about. And that's what Lord Brahma is praying. Please be merciful to me. I want to be empowered with the introspection to create, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Brahma confidently describes himself as dear to the Lord. He's not puffed up in his case that he says, I am surrendered and I'm dear to Krishna. And then in the purport, Prabhupada states the other case of Krishna's position. He says, Brahma prayed to the Lord because he, meaning Krishna, is very dear to the surrendered soul. So, Prabhupada agrees that Brahma is surrendered, and he says that for such a person, Krishna is dear. And Brahma states that he's dear, the devotee is dear to Krishna. And Prabhupada says, yes, and Krishna is dear to the devotee. So we want to achieve realization of this dearness, that we're dear to Krishna, that we're surrendered, and that Krishna is dear to us. This is what we're after. As Prabhupada used to say, we want to become mad after Krishna and Krishna's devotional service. That is why we are here in this world and here in this Krishna consciousness movement, to become dear to Krishna and to realize that Krishna is dear to us. To be surrendered. Maharaj Parikshit, he also described himself as surrendered. Because he was, factually. He went to the bank of the Jamuna and he said to the sages, my dear sages, please accept me as a surrendered soul. Because I simply want to hear about Krishna. So we should, it's not just to say it boldly, yes, I'm surrendered. But he's putting himself, I want to be surrendered, here's my surrender, I'm giving up my kingdom, I'm coming here, I'm surrendered, please accept me. Brahma is saying that too. I'm surrendered, Krishna, but now please be merciful to me, I'm coming to surrender. May he be merciful towards me, so that as before I may be empowered with the introspection to create, for I'm also surrendered, and I'm dear to you. He's making his claim. Like Lord Chaitanya says, oh, my dear Lord, son of Maharaj Nanda, please, I am your eternal servant. Take me out of the ocean of birth and death. Fix me at your lotus feet. Pick me up. I'm your servant. So that's a rightful claim. But you have to do it by going to Krishna and surrendering. Here's my life. Here's my body. Here are my words. Now, you please make it work. Like Prabhupada said in his prayer, my name is Bhakti Vedanta, I don't know why, but you please give the purport to this name, make me Bhakti Vedanta, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. So you have to surrender and then ask the Lord to make good your surrender. And if you don't do that, then it is all useless. That surrender may be painful to us. We were discussing the other day at the Sankirtan meeting how prescribed duty can't be given up if it's painful to the body or out of fear. That's called renunciation in the mode of passion, and it never brings good results. But rather, one should act out of duty without expecting the result. We have to come to Krishna and Krishna's representative and say, please be merciful unto me, like Lord Brahma. That merciful doesn't mean, please spare me. Don't give me work. Don't give me a difficult position. Don't ask me to do something difficult. Please be merciful. That is not what it means to be merciful. It means please empower me to be your surrendered servant. Let me understand that I am dear to you and you're dear to me. And then if we do that, if we surrender to Krishna, he'll enlist us as his devotee. This is the field. Our prescribed duty is the field of surrender. If one is married, then he has to surrender in the marriage. Not surrender to the whims of the partner, but he has to surrender to putting Krishna in the center of that marriage, and he has to protect his partner or serve his partner, her partner. Then wherever you work, if you are doing sankirtan, if you are staying in the temple, you have to surrender there. Not that you surrender 5 million miles away to something else. That was part of how Krishna was arguing with the cowherd men. They said, yes, Indra is in the skies and he sends the rains, so we're going to do this religious jagya and then rains will come. Krishna was speaking almost like an atheist because he wanted to defeat this demigod worship. He said, what is this worship to the demigod in the sky and the rains are going to come if you do this jagya? That's not the way rain comes. You just stick to where you are. You're residents of Vrindavan. Your business is to take care of the cows in Govardhan Hill. Don't worry about Indra. Actually, what he meant is you just worship me, Krishna. Worship Vrindavan. And then he showed that he was actually Govardhan Hill. He didn't want them to worship the demigods. He said, your field of surrender is right here, not in the heavenly planet. Take care of the cows, take care of the land, whatever is necessary, and I guarantee that everything will come. Indra must give the rains. So the one aspect of that is the field being immediately before one. When we chant, we have to chant with our tongue and our ears. We have to hear. We have to surrender in this way. Therefore, although Krishna, we were saying how to a neophyte devotee, Krishna seems far away. The dearness to Krishna may seem far away. But the surrender is right here. And as you surrender, then that far away Krishna will become close to you. That's the way to embrace Krishna, by surrendering to your duties. And if you refuse them, then how can you become dear to Krishna? Not just by some sentiment, by emotional singing or crying or protesting, oh Krishna, please be merciful to me, Krishna. What does it mean? Here's what it means, that Krishna, I'm coming before you, surrendered. I'm one of your devotees. Now please empower me with the introspection to create. Introspection means to be able to have the power to see within. That means to see that I'm not this body. I'm the servant of Krishna. Life is passing. I have to surrender to Krishna. That's what I have to do. That's who I am. That's introspection. Introspection doesn't mean to be on the mental plane and not surrender. Oh, I'm very thoughtful. I'm always living in my mind. No, introspection means to always be able to think. We, in our japa class this morning, we read, Prabhupada said, one should always think. And then he gave this quote. He said, an advanced devotee, one who has bhava and who has the symptom of utilization of time, he's always thinking in each instance when he's about to do something, am I doing this in Maya's service or in Krishna's service? He said, such a nice introspective mantras. Am I doing this in Maya's service or in Krishna's service? And then you know, and then you do it in Krishna's service. Don't do it in Maya's service. Don't be stubborn and perverse. Because we want to become dear to Krishna. You can't become dear to Maya. Maya will only kick you. But you want to become dear to Krishna and have Krishna come close to you. How long are we going to go on chanting and hearing and seeing the deity and Krishna being far away, being abstract, being mechanical in our service, not realizing that Krishna is dear to us in the verses when Krishna is described? Is it always going to be something abstract? It will if we don't surrender. Yayatam mam prapadyante tam stava vajamyaham. Krishna reveals himself according to your surrender. He reciprocates. More than you come, he reciprocates. But still, it's back and forth. You come forward 1 foot, he comes 100 feet. But if you don't come, then Prabhupada said, he is silent in your case. So we have to come forward by our acts of practical surrender. Wherever it is, working in the garden or working in the temple, come forward and surrender. Do whatever you can to increase your service, the quality of your service, the meditation on your service, and decrease material attachment, doubt, envy, all unwanted things. Surrender, if someone says, what is this surrender? Well, we can make it very clear, even to a neophyte, what surrender is. We say surrender means you give up smoking, you give up meat eating, and you do everything for God. You understand? Yes, everyone will understand. It's very easy to understand. It may be difficult to do, but everyone knows what we're talking about. And when you surrender, then that same Krishna that we talk about, then he will also be known to you very clearly. He will reveal himself. And when Krishna reveals himself, then there's nothing left to be known and there's nothing to hanker for. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions? Go ahead, Krishna.
Sometimes the question arises when we're speaking about following our prescribed duties without any personal motivation. This prescribed duty is something that's dictated for me on the modes of material nature, but there's a spiritual duty,
yeah,
which is given by the spiritual master or his representatives.
Yeah.
So then we may accept one, but then if it's too difficult, then our minds may begin a conflict. This is a spiritual duty, but somehow or other, my prescribed duty under the modes of material nature is in conflict with the spiritual duty. Therefore, I can follow my prescribed duty, but I just can't seem to surrender to the spiritual duty.
Well, Prabhupada discusses dharma sometimes, and he says the dharma may be according to Varnashram dharma, and that's not very advanced, that's material. Sometimes some of our Indian friends, they interpret Bhagavad Gita to mean sarva dharma paryaj. The real surrender means to do your dharma. But Prabhupada says that the real dharma is svadharma, meaning surrendering to Krishna in devotional service. Not just that if you're a good businessman, you go to work every day, and you take care of your family, and you're non-violent, that's your dharma. Your dharma is to, whatever you do, offer it to Krishna. That's your dharma. And sarva dharma means give up all other dharma. So, when we come to Krishna Consciousness Movement, although we have plans to implement Varnashram Dharma in ISKCON, that's a different thing. We are Vaishnava. We may be working according to, you say, our Dharma, but we've given that up to become devotee. Anyway, our Dharma was Mlecha Dharma. What was our Dharma before we came? Our Dharma was to do sinful activities, we thought. So now that we're devotee, we only have one dharma. We're not like some Hindu who's stuck up thinking that that I'm a Brahmin since his father was a Brahmin. I don't have to come to the temple and chant. I am worshiping Krishna by doing my job. Krishna told Arjuna, just do your job. No, we're not false imitator, renouncer, who Krishna criticizes, but neither are we the Karmi, who Krishna criticizes. We're acting on the platform of pure devotional service. So I don't see, within pure devotional service, we are able to maintain family, eating, sleeping, mating, as devotee, just so that we can serve. But how would we, say in ISKCON, run into a conflict between dharma and svadharma?
specific activities, not they're not capable of doing that because of their prescribed.
So this is a sensitive family or community, as every center should be, and nothing is done by force. Everything is voluntary. When we become initiated, then we agree to follow the four rules and chant 16 rounds. This is minimum behavior. If we break this, then we don't want to stay in the Krishna consciousness movement, and eventually we can't stay anyway if we're not following. So then, aside from this, there are obligations to do honest service. So everyone should surrender and do honest service. So we can only preach and try to raise the consciousness to inspire people to surrender. So one should try his best to do something, even if it's extraordinary. And then if he cannot do it, there will be no hard feelings or blacklisting. Then he can just take up whatever service he can. But we should feel like that. Your specific example, if I cannot go out and collect, if I try it and it's too difficult due to my shyness or the heaviness of the modes of nature, then I should, in humility, come back and vigorously take up some other service, backup service or direct farm service. There will be no question of being second class, because service is fixed up on sincerity. It's not that the devotees of such and such department, they go back to Godhead first, and then the devotees of another department. But the sincere devotees of every department go first, those who actually surrendered. So one should be careful not to rationalize and make a plea that, oh, my dharma is such and such, you're asking me to do something that's not my dharma. Your dharma is to surrender. Don't be nonsense and say, this is my dharma, that's not my dharma. But with sensitive dealing, you will engage people according to their abilities, not their whims. Propensity doesn't mean whim. Whim. Propensity means an inclination for a particular kind of work, or say, a taste for certain occupation. But that can also be trained. If one is just surrendered, you say, so you can do with me what you like. So, all right, I'll train you up to be a Sankirtan devotee. I'll train you up to do something else. The one who's completely surrendered, he can be trained up in a propensity. But if we have the other kind of propensity, which is like from our side, certain limits of what we'll do and what we won't do, that will also be entertained or accepted, provided that you find some useful service in the Sankirtan movement and try to serve in that way. We have to identify with the cause of ISKCON, the cause of Gita Nagari, the cause of rescuing the souls, going back to Godhead. And we have to fight for this cause and give up everything ultimately. I heard on a tape last night, the Mahabharata, Prabhupada was explaining how when they were in exile, after they were almost killed in the shellac house, the Pandavas took shelter in another place, some house. And that was the time when this demon was in that village. And he was demanding a sacrifice, a human sacrifice, from each different house on a different night. So then while they were staying there, the demon wanted a human sacrifice from the house where the Pandavas were staying. So Prabhupada explains that when you are being maintained in a house, and you are living there, eating, sleeping, then you are obliged to fully identify with the place, even if there's a dangerous situation. Not that you say, well, that's not my thing. I just live here. But this is just material side of Vedic culture. And so when they came forward, the Pandavas didn't say, well, I think you better pick somebody, or we're going to move out of here, or something like that. Bhima came forward, he said, oh, a human sacrifice has to come from this house? I'll go. Prabhupada said, he killed a demon, but it was very dangerous. But because he had this ethic. So that's different, you going living in somebody's house like a guest. But we're all in Prabhupada's house. Somebody may be president, vice president, temple commander, school teacher, a gardener, apparently someone's boss, someone is servant, someone is guru, someone is disciple. But we're all servants in Prabhupada's house, and we have to identify with the cause and give to the cause. A step forward. It's not somebody's place. And he's trying to engage others. It's Prabhupada's place, Krishna's place, Radha Damodar's place, and we all have to serve. We all have to surrender. And it's being done so that we can surrender, and it's also being done so that we can maintain this center to preach. Therefore, we should not be too stuck on this Varnashram Dharma as opposed to the pure surrender that is required if it comes to that I'm claiming Varnashram Dharma as a reason not to surrender. That you have asked me to do a sudra's work, but I am a Brahmin. That's the racket, like unemployment. You get your... I remember when I was on unemployment, I put down occupation, literary writer. So that I would go and they would try to get me a job. But if they got me another job that wasn't in my occupation, I didn't have to take it. At least that's how it was in those days. So we not that we have our little unemployment card, our employment card, get our category, 99.472, occupation, pujari. And then you say, you just asked me to do a sudra's work, I'm a pujari. But devotee is expert. His card says, surrendered servant. And then you become dear to Krishna for having the card of surrendered servant. And then you can say like Brahma, so Krishna, please help me because I'm a surrendered soul. I'm making that claim. I'm some kind of surrendered soul. I want to be. And I'm dear to you. I'm one of your men. I'm a Vishnu Jana. I'm not a Karmi. I'm one of the men of Vishnu, Vishnu Dutta. So please make me a good Vishnu Dutta. Be merciful to me. Give me the power of introspection so that I can see within and do the right thing and surrender. Anyone else? One last one.
Suppose when one goes to fill out that card, he tries to write surrender servant, and he's a little afraid it's going to be painful, so he wants to write conditional servant.
Then he should do like Dwarkadish did at Dallas. He should put his hand out and Prabhupada take his hand and write surrendered servant. You shouldn't write conditions, servant. But the Prabhupada, a representative of Prabhupada, will know that this is little Dwarkadish. He can't do somebody else's work, but he should do some work that is very good and serious. Just like we have the Varnashram College, so one boy is in the yogi bar factory, one boy is in the barn. So I asked the men how they were doing. Sri Krishna said Nirmal Chandra was good help. But still, there are things that we can't expect him to do. His card may say surrendered servant, but we know. So there has to be intelligent, sensitive handling. But the servant, who you say is a little fearful whether he can surrender, he should be praying that he can surrender. Not praying that his number won't be picked for the draft so that he can get out of something. And that person who is simply the messenger of Krishna to engage persons, he has to be sensitive. Working on the principle that surrender is good for everyone, he has to be sensitive to bend, as Prabhupada said, we have to bend the devotee's will without breaking it. And the way to do that, say if you're bending a branch and you want to bend it into a shape but you don't want to break it, you have to do it constantly. Just always keep the pressure on and you can bend it. But if you do it just once, suddenly you may break it. So you have to always keep the pressure of surrender on and bend. But that's done. The bending is always done, but not to break anyone. So the conditions that he's saying, yes, I want to surrender, and you please force me, but not too hard. So that may be. But at least he's saying, make me surrender. Therefore, we're astonished and amazed how Queen Kunti prays so boldly that, my dear Lord, you please always put me in dangerous circumstances just so that I can always think of you. Because if I think of you, then I'll never have to come back to this world of dangerous places. We wonder how she can pray to be put into dangerous circumstances. And most people are praying to be put in safe circumstances. And she's praying to be put in dangerous circumstances. So we may not be so bold as Queen Kunti, but we want to enlist as surrendered servant, or at least servant of the surrendered servant. That's just as good. If you say, well, I can't be a frontline soldier, but I want to be a servant, then you can enlist and do wonderful service. The servant of the servant of the servant. If he serves, he can find a field where he can completely surrender and serve. So he shouldn't write conditioned servant. So if there are subcategories and someone is Sankirtan devotee and he can't do that, then whatever he does, he still has to be in bold letters, surrendered servant, subcategory, whatever it is. But not conditioned servant. So whatever I'm asked to do in my service, I should try to do. Even if it's difficult. What is your experience, Prithu? Is that about surrender? You want to say anything?
I'm not very surrendered.
I can talk about surrender.
We have to become surrendered servants of Srila
Prabhupada. I have to become surrendered to Prabhupada. So, Paramananda, have you got those cards? You can fill out. We'll do like the Christians. We'll get everyone to sign. And we'll keep the pressure on.
The service isn't, what we do isn't really makes no difference. That's what should really be service at all, what we do, it's just that we do it on the, in that mood. One day you might do one thing.
Yeah. You made
absolutely no difference at all.
Yeah, as long as it's authorized service. It makes no difference means what? Means that one isn't better than another, or that I shouldn't think that this one shouldn't be done by me. I wrote in 26 Qualities, quoting Prabhupada, he said that devotee is expert. It means that he will do anything. He doesn't think that because I'm Brahmin, I can't clean the bathroom. But he's expert. It's different than material expertise. He's willing to do different things that are required of him. Because he's dear to Krishna.
On the one hand, sometimes we hear it said that I just want to find a service that I can really get into. But here you're saying that, well, the service that you can really get into is that has to be done that day.
Well, within that service, there are all different things that you have to do. Everyone has some work that he's doing. He's expected to do every day. That's organization. But we should be ready to do whatever. I remember I always liked in that one Back to Godhead article that Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnu John wrote about their adventures of traveling in the bus. And they made it sound, which it was, so nice, always traveling and preaching. And you could tell they really loved the service. And then they said, and we're doing this all the time, but we're always ready. We're on 24-hour call by our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, that if he wants, we will at a moment's notice give this up and do whatever he wants, go somewhere else, and give up this very program we're describing. Maybe he wants us suddenly to go to India and sit in a temple in Hyderabad. And then we won't be on the bus. That's ideal. If the spiritual master can count on such a disciple, then he's a fortunate spiritual master to have such a disciple. But he's also fortunate if he has a disciple who is he can count on to stay for a lifetime in a particular place. But the devotee should consider his life sold out. Not that he's a partner. Prabhupada was describing that one of his godbrothers, he was a big organizer for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he thought of it that he was, that the guru was the senior partner, and he was, no, they were co-partners. Yeah, he was a senior partner, but they were partners in a business. And therefore, when his spiritual master passed away, he felt that he became the senior partner. That mentality of being a partner to the guru, he said, is faulty. He has to be the servant, ready to do different engagements. Anyway, we can't set all the categories and distinctions down once and for all. We have to try to always maintain the proper balance, chanting, hearing, work, and just maintain and expand the service of this project with everyone's cooperation. Therefore, as I said in the beginning, it's not by one class that everything is permanently enthused or established. We have to go on speaking on these topics and trying to surrender and hearing about Krishna regularly. By coming to the morning program in the right mood, we'll more and more raise our consciousness so that surrender and occupational duties will become clear to us and we'll be able to do them by the grace of Radha Damodar. Things which seem difficult will be easy to us. We may find that the things we're being asked to, we said, well, should you do something, even if it is a risk to your spiritual life? Should you do something if you're asked, even if you hate to do it? So those are difficult questions to answer and say, yes, you should do it even if you hate it. Yes, you should do it even if you're going to think you're going to go to hell. But maybe if our consciousness is raised, then the things we're being asked to do, they won't make us ask questions like that. We won't feel like we're being imposed upon. So let us find everything in the Bhagavatam and try to apply it. Jai, all glories are powerful.